From the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a different kind of football at AT&T Stadium, World Cup soccer on the big, big screen, and a glimpse of one of the greatest African-American artists you might never have heard of. First, as we heard a few minutes ago, Dallas is in the spotlight right now in the debate over the immigrant kids who've come across the U.S. border. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins is headed to the border tomorrow. He'll visit some of the centers in McAllen, where 52,000 immigrant children have landed after crossing into the U.S. Jenkins plans to house at least 2,000 of these kids in Dallas County. Aviva Chomsky wrote a new book about the history of immigration, and today on Think, she told Chris Boyd that people who enter the country this way have no other choice. Think producer Stephen Becker explains.
It's a natural question. Why can't people who want to live in the U.S. just wait in line for citizenship?
Well, the answer is that they can't just wait in line, and there's a number of reasons for that. One is that there is no line.
Well, there are a few lines.
So for somebody who's married to a U.S. citizen, there's a line to wait in. But most people who cross the border illegally are not married to a U.S. citizen.
There's also a line if you have a specific high-level technical skill in certain job categories. But even then,
it may be a very, very long line, like longer than your own lifetime, but at least there is a line. If you don't fall into those two categories, there is no line to stand in.
And without other options, Chomsky says that's when people act out of desperation.
It's rarely a light decision made by somebody. Yeah, I think I'll go risk my life to work in substandard conditions and in constant fear of arrest and deportation. They do it because the circumstances of their lives make it the only option for survival.
Aviva Chomsky's new book is called Undocumented: How Immigration Became Illegal. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
KERA's Dwali Saikautau will cover Judge Clay Jenkins' visit to McAllen tomorrow. Follow the developments on keranews.org. That's the sound of 20,000 football fans cheering at AT&T Stadium this afternoon, but not for the Cowboys. They were watching World Cup soccer on one of the world's biggest TV screens.
My name is Matt Ligon. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. We heard about free seating and free parking, and we thought that there would be no better place to watch the game on a 60-yard scoreboard.
Hi, my name is Melissa Evans. I am from Fort Worth. I now live in Minneapolis, visiting home right now. My uncle is a huge soccer fan, and he said, "Hey, Melissa, you're in town this week. There's the game. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Heck yeah."
The U.S. hung tough for all 90 minutes of regulation time in a tense scoreless tie, then came extra time. 2 minutes in, Belgium scored and went on to win 2-1. The loss knocks the Americans out of the tournament. Archibald Motley was an African-American artist whose colorful work captured the spirit of the jazz age and flowed into the R&B era of the 60s. Yet, he's little known today. KEI's Ann Bothwell talks to Maggie Adler, a curator at Fort Worth Sam and Carter Museum, about how she hopes an exhibition there will change that.
Maggie Adler, welcome to the KERA Newsroom.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Archibald Motley died in 1981. This is the first major retrospective of his work in about 20 years. Why is he relevant now?
Well, I think it's fascinating because he was born in 1891. If you think about all the cultural and social events that happened between 1891 and 1981, you get a microcosm of that period, from the Great Depression to Prohibition to the advent of jazz.
Who was he?
Archibald Motley was born in New Orleans. And so you think about having that Creole heritage. He had that jazz spirit imbued in him from childhood. He grew up in Chicago and was one of the first African-American artists to train at the Art Institute of Chicago. So the art world in the 1920s really recognized him for the great innovator that he was. And it was only in subsequent generations, when his works went into private hands, that we lost his more public reputation. And it was African-American artists in the 60s and 70s who were inspired by his works, who really began to revive his reputation.
Because his career was so long, he returns to themes over and over and over again, and you can really see a progression of history.
There's a painting from 1934 called Barbecue, and then there's a painting from the 1960s also called Barbecue. Motley is an artist of extremes, extreme color, extreme movement. Figures in the 1934 barbecue are somewhat politely engaging with each other. By the 1960s barbecue, all the figures are just aflame with the colors of the hot coals. And so you think about the difference between the 30s and the 60s, and it's represented in that progression.
Motley spent time in Paris and Mexico. Why were these places important to him?
Actually, one of the main themes of the exhibition is this idea that the Harlem Renaissance really was happening all over the world. It's said that the reason we call it the Harlem Renaissance is that Harlem was where all the publishers were, and so that they got the word out. But in fact, Paris and Mexico and Chicago were centers of Black cultural life and a blossoming of music and all of the arts.
Do you think the rediscovery of Motley is part of anything bigger?
Motley's connection with music, with a better understanding of cultural flowering in the 20s through the 60s, because he had such a long career, is something that makes his work even more accessible and appealing. And I think there was a generation of artists who, African-American artists, who recognized that Motley needed second consideration or further consideration. And so it's great when you can rediscover an artist who has been forgotten by history for the most part. But also, it's the connecting fibers that make Motley so compelling as an artist today.
Maggie Adler, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
To see Archibald Motley's work and learn more about the Ammon Carter's exhibition, visit artandseek.org. Finally today, we'll remember Billy Porterfield. The longtime Texas journalist and KERA producer was 81 and had long battled Alzheimer's disease. KERA's Stella Chavez spoke with Lee Cullum, who worked with Porterfield on the station's nightly TV program, Newsroom.
Porterfield loved the West and country living. He dressed in Western clothes, often wore a hat, and had an impressive horseshoe mustache.
So whatever he wrote and then said on the air was very, very thoughtful. And when something happened like the release of the Nixon tapes or the death of LBJ, he's the one we would turn to immediately to write a commentary that would really bring some thought and consideration to what had happened.
That's Lee Cullum, who shared the camera with Porterfield on KERA's Newsroom. Porterfield joined the show in 1969 and later became executive producer. Cullum described him as a brilliant writer and something of a philosopher.
He never was a city guy. He really was very Texan, and Texan in a way that lives in the imagination of Texas.
In this clip from 1974, Porterfield responds to Cullum's question about President Nixon's decision to finally release White House tapes.
Billy, what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's the only thing that the president could have done to get the heat of impeachment off. And I think that he'll do that, that this will cool the moves in the House. I think some people will go ahead with them. But I think if he hadn't done this, impeachment wouldn't have come about. There would have been strong moves, but now I don't think there's much of a chance at this point.
In August of that year, Nixon resigned. Porterfield was just getting started. He produced TV documentaries, became a newspaper columnist, taught at SMU, and wrote several books. As always, Cullum says, he was a character.
When Jim Lehrer was running the program, he would get impatient with Billy because he wanted more work out of him. And Billy would say, look, I hit home runs. And that's the truth. He always hit a home run.
A memorial for Porterfield is being planned for later this summer. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance for showers with a low around 75. Tomorrow should be partly sunny, a 20% chance of rain with a high near 93. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain with a low near 73. It's currently 93 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 79 in Tyler, and 91 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.